You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Straight Shooters podcast. Keith Bennett here, joined by my co-host, Henry Stettina. Henry, what's going on with you this morning on a Tuesday morning there in Las Cruces? How you doing?
What's up, man? Doing well. Getting ready for the day. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, buddy. Me too. I always look forward to these chats. So today we're talking about, you know, we kind of had discussed offline before we met, like, the number one question that we get from students, or the number one question I get from students, speaking for myself, when we're working on swing changes is, you know, I ask folks to slow down, to go methodically, to do some pause swings, you know, things that really help them feel different aspects of your swing that they're not used to because it's different and it's easier when you slow it down. But then they say to me, Keith, I get it. I'm on board, but I'm playing golf this Friday with friends. Do I take what I'm working on in my swing? Do I take, you know, the pacing that you're asking me to do? How do I take that to the golf course and still play golf? I think, and you know, we've all had to go through this anytime we've tweaked a swing or we've watched professionals go through it and hear them talk about their experiences with it. And this question just keeps coming up. And I think it would be a great time to kind of chat through some things that we recommend, some things that have worked for us personally, some things that have worked successfully for our students. So I'll throw the ball over to you to start. So if someone asks you, hey, Henry, how do I take what I'm working on to the golf course and still feel like I'm performing? Maybe not, I don't expect to perform like my best golf right off the bat necessarily, but you know, I'm playing with some friends. I don't want to totally embarrass myself because I'm not comfortable with the changes yet. What do you typically tell that player in that instance?
Yeah, I think that that's a really common question that I get as well. And, you know, ultimately, I think we should take it to the, you know, from the range to the course quite simply. It's easier said than done, but what good does it do you to be working on something on the range and then abandon it when you get to the golf course? So I think what we need to do is to start to like detach ourselves from those results that we're looking for on the golf course. We set some expectations for us. We're looking for the results. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We don't want to look like we're doing something goofy on the golf course. And so we tend to abandon those swing changes. And a lot of times when I'm working with a player, we do some kind of a build-up approach where we work on half swings, three-quarter swings, and then full swings. Half swings are really good for the foundation, but they're not very usable on the golf course. It'd be quite awkward to be playing around a golf with half swings. Three-quarter swings are a great next step, and those are quite usable for the golf course. I would be more than happy to go play around a golf and be taking three-quarter swings. I could play just fine. If my coach told me that I wasn't to use my driver for a few rounds, that would be okay. I could make three-quarter swings using irons and play a respectable round of golf with my peers. And so that's something that I do. You know, I'm comfortable working on my golf swing on the golf course. And it just really boiled down to identifying what was more important to me, today's score and comfort with this group of people, or tomorrow's potential ability to have grown from this round.
Yeah, I think that is really well said. You know, I have almost all of my players who are working on swing changes start off with half swings, you know, making sure the club face is in the orientation that we want, making sure the club shaft is in the position we want at club shaft parallel. Let's call it 9 o'clock in the backswing, 3 o'clock in the forward swing. That would be for a right-handed player. And they get really good at that really quickly. And then they obviously understand, okay, I can't play golf like this, but it's always pretty shocking to them, especially when we have like a TrackMan going and we're looking at distance numbers. I don't show them the distance numbers, but sometimes I'll throw it in there, like how far that ball actually went. Cause it's like, when they make a solid, when we move in that progression, we make that solid three quarter swing, let's say going to lead arm 9 o'clock, trail arm, you know, 3 o'clock in the follow through, and the club face is in a good spot, the balance is good, they're finally hitting the center of the club face more consistently, I'll say, you know, that ball only went about 8 yards short of the full swings you were making when we started today. Because you're striking it more solidly, the face is more square, you're de-lofting the club a little bit, the compression is jumping up. And they're often very, very shocked or pleasantly surprised, or sometimes they'll even make a comment like, oh, that's going about as far as the ones that I was hitting when I started before we started working on stuff. And I'll go, yeah. And you're actually swinging maybe 3 to 5 miles an hour slower, you're more in control, your balance is better. And that right there helps them commit to this idea that, yeah, I could play a respectable round of golf, as you're saying, with a three quarter swing. And, you know, the funny part is you probably already like know, and you observe in your lessons is, and I'll show folks on camera, most folks overswing, big time. Very few folks, unless they're kind of, you know, up there in age and their mobility is a little bit lacking, need to lengthen their swing out. From my experience, this isn't a blanket statement, but, you know, from my experience, it holds quite true recently. So when they make that three quarter swing, they actually go well past that 9 o'clock point and they go to a full swing, thinking they're making a three quarter swing. And we show them that on camera, they go, oh, I didn't know I was going back that far. And so they're really still making a full swing for the most part, but the face in is, you know, the club face is in a better spot. The balance is better. All that stuff is getting better. And therefore their consistency is going up. So I think the biggest thing for most folks is the concern of like, oh, you know, am I going to lose distance for a while working on this? Or how am I going to hit the driver, or how am I going to get off the tee box? And, you know, to your point, it's like, if my coach said, hey, permission to put away the driver, or I want you to put away the driver for a couple of weeks. For a lot of folks, they'd be like, fine, cool. Got it. I'm happy to, right? They don't even really want to hit it for a lot of times. And they end up, you know, scoring well. You know, maybe they deviate a little, like 5 shots from their norm, sometimes 5 shot better, sometimes 5 shots higher, but they would have done that anyway with their normal swing. So you always said something that resonated back in the day when we were talking about this. And it's like, you know, when Tiger went to see, you know, Butch or Haney or Foley, right? And they were working on a swing change, he didn't go to the course and then go back to his old instructor's swing after he and hit, you know, that instructor had put in, you know, a couple months worth of work, just because he didn't maybe quite feel comfortable with it that day, you know, because then you're going to prolong the process of, you know, ingraining that new swing. So I think really the only reason people don't want to jump right in is that fear of shooting a higher score. That's pretty much it, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. You know, most of the people that come to me for a golf lesson are looking for more consistency.
Yep.
And we have to ask ourselves, what's going to be more consistent, your full swing or your three quarter swing?
Yep.
And I think a lot of folks would say that their three quarter swing is more consistent. So if that's true, why not commit to your three quarter swing for a round of golf and see what happens?
Right.
Most people are looking for more consistency. And if I asked them, which club are you more consistent with, your 5-iron or your driver? Most people might say they're 5-iron. So if that's the case, why not commit to a round of golf where you're teeing off with your 5-iron with a three-quarter swing?
Right.
Versus going full swing with your driver.
Right.
So, you know, I think when we look at it, it makes sense that it would be okay to work on our swing on the golf course.
Right.
It would make sense to take those three quarter swings. It would make sense to use less than driver. It's just that people are afraid to look different, to hit a bad shot, to give up control, to surrender to the ball flag, to the score, to what the other players in the group might think.
Right.
You made a really good point that most people overswing.
Yep.
I was working with a player recently who, in my opinion, was overswinging. he viewed it as he was getting long with his swing and steep and over the top. And the ball was going way too high. I mean, we're talking miles into the air.
Yep.
About a 2 or 3 handicap player. And he thought it was a club fitting issue. And so we tried some different clubs. Nothing really brought the ball flight down. So what would it be like to hit a punch shot or a three-quarter shot? All of a sudden, the ball flight came down. It was a more penetrating ball flight. He was hitting more solid. It was more consistent. And guess what? It went further. His three-quarter punch shot went further than his actual full swing.
Yep.
But guess what happened next? He couldn't commit to doing that.
Right.
You made a good point about using the TrackMan. Let's start showing them those numbers so that they can see that even though it feels so much shorter and less powerful, it might still be going the same distance or pretty close to it.
Yep.
And it's really a convincing of the player, convincing them that this is usable, convincing them that this could be better, convincing them that this is the long play versus working on, you know, this short-term gratification, having to, you know, have control and comfort today. We need to get away from that and be able to recognize that we're working towards something tomorrow and next week and next month and really play the long-term gratification game.
Yeah, I love that. The long term. Let's play for the long term. I think, you know, if we're all thinking about this reasonably, you know, we're going to be playing a lot more golf in our lifetime, depending on your age. You know, are you willing to play a handful of rounds feeling a little bit uncomfortable, feeling a little bit maybe awkward, feeling different, hitting a few potentially bad shots, but you're going to hit bad shots anyway, regardless if you're making a swing change or not, or tons and tons of rounds of golf down the road where the ball flight is better, you have more control, right? And we start to tell ourselves stories in our head, you know, extrapolate out into the future and go, well, man, you know, how, you know, they want to know, like, how long is this going to take? That's the number, like, how long is this swing change going to take? How long before I feel comfortable on the course? Because they just want to know that there's an end point where they'll no longer feel uncomfortable, where everything will feel fine, right? And then it's kind of like when you go, you know, when you go to like a PT or something and they tell you how long it's going to take, I think it's kind of become the norm to give like a set date for something to set hold, right? Like, how long is this going to take? Because we just want to know that the suffering or the struggling will come to an end at some point, right? You know, and it's like, no. It may never feel totally comfortable. Like, I don't know, like my swing, the swing's always changing anyway. I think like every 30 days, don't quote me, but like every 30 days or 45 days, our cells totally regenerate themselves. And we're actually like a different walking person. Like, we're not even the same, you know, cellular person. So like nothing's going to ever stay the same anyway, right? We're always going to feel different. Obviously, the thing that's most important is how the golf club is delivered to the golf ball. You could do it one-handed. You could do it on your knees. You could do it one-footed. The ball doesn't give, you know, care how I'm standing, who I am, how I'm aimed, all that sort of stuff. But we just want to know that there's an end point to the suffering, to the struggling. And I think we've done a disservice because as the healing industry or the PT industry or whatever is like, I don't know if they've been mandated to say that there's an endpoint, maybe because they always got asked, you know, and then people are like, well, I'm going to beat that, right? I'm going to beat that endpoint, right? And most people do when they take that mindset. So maybe it's like, you got to take that mindset of, you know, hey, I'm going to make this swing change happen faster or whatever. And even if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's like, there might not be an endpoint. You know, it's going to be in flux anyway. So commit to it. Because if you don't commit to it, then, we know if you don't commit to it, you'll never get any sort of swing change. But, you know, that journey, it just always comes back to just like the journey is more important than the result. But I think, you know, people wanting to know, like, when is the suffering going to end is sort of a big point for people to not want to, you know, commit to anything.
Yeah, I think you got to find joy in the process for sure. Find joy in the journey. The day we quit learning is the day we die. We should strive for improvement every day for the rest of our lives. I'm constantly working on my golf game. Tiger Woods is constantly working on his golf game. If he was, you know, done learning, he'd be done playing. You know, he's trying to get better. He's trying to win again. He's trying to get back to the tour. So I think that strive should never end.
Right.
And, you know, maybe taking a lesson and working on something and then expecting to go to the golf course to play 18 holes with your buddies is way too big of a jump.
Right.
Maybe that player needs to spend more time on the range. Like that is a sign that you're not ready to go on the golf course.
Right.
Maybe there's some time to practice on the golf course. Maybe playing 9 holes in the evening by yourself where you can play multiple shots would be a good transition.
Yep.
Or maybe that's too much. Maybe saying, you know, I'm part of this club or there's this player development program that allows me to play free golf or discounted golf during twilight hours or whatever it might be. Try to go out there and play for 3 holes or 4 holes and see if you can take what you're working on the range to the course. If you can do it for 3 holes, maybe next week you can do it for 6. And if you can do it for 6, maybe next week you can do it for 9. And then you build your way up to 18 holes.
Yeah.
But the real key is that we're never going to go from 0 to 60. We're never going to go from working on it mechanically on the range to playing golf on the golf course unless we go through that transitionary period and we're willing to take it to the golf course.
Yeah.
We've got to be willing to do that. And, you know, like we started this conversation, I think that a person can play just fine if they did their 3-quarter swing on a golf course. That would be okay. A person would just need to be willing to do that. There is processes that can help transition that period and transfer it to the course more easily. But at the end of the day, it comes down to their willingness to do that.
Yep. Yeah. Something you said there just resonated with me, you know, of maybe they're not ready to go play yet. Maybe they need more range time. I think of like coaches of teams. If they have a player who's not running the plays properly, they're not playing. They're not ready, right? If the coach isn't seeing what they need to see out of that player in practice, they're a liability. They're not going to play the game, right? And it's like in golf, there's no coach that's going to hold you out of the game. You can sign up for a tee time and you can go play, right? It's, you know, there's nobody stopping you from doing that. So you kind of have to be your own coach in that sense where it's like, hey, maybe I'm just not quite ready to go play on Saturday. Maybe I need another week of practice to kind of see the things that I need to see, send a video to my coach, check in. Hey, I'm feeling good. What do you think? Are we ready? Coach gives me the green light. Let's go play. Now, eventually you got to go, in the game, you know, if a coach has a rookie quarterback, there's going to be some lumps, right? They're not going to go, 17-0 right out of the gate. There's going to be some lumps. You got to learn. But if that coach is truly not feeling that player's ready, they're not going to go in yet. They're going to sit and they're going to learn from that veteran quarterback. And it's like you kind of have to regulate yourself a little bit in golf for maybe a little while and truly reflect and go, I'm not ready. I don't feel comfortable. Because you know when you stand over that ball in the driving range, you know if you're ready or not. You know, everybody does. But they're like the weirdness of sending the text to the group saying, I'm out on Saturday. I need to work on my swing. Because your group's going to go like, oh, what do you mean? You're not playing. What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's so afraid to send that text that they're willing to go suffer and be uncomfortable. And then before they realize that they're on the golf course and that they said, okay, I'm not ready today, but I'm going to have fun. I know I'm not going to play well, but I know I'm not ready. They let it like really impact their confidence. And then all of a sudden they quit on the swing change because things just happened too quickly, right? Like how many quarterbacks in the NFL have gone in too early, lost their confidence and never seen from again? Zach Wilson from the Jets, comes to mind, where it's like his confidence might be toast. Sam Darnold, same thing. You know, we might never see these players again because they got thrown in too early. They didn't succeed, you know. And so if you throw yourself in there too early before you're ready, it could destroy your confidence, and then you just never commit to those swing changes. You know, and I've been really, really sort of meditating on this quote recently, which is like, choose your hard, right? You know, yes, it's hard to send that text to the group to say you're not playing ready. It's hard to say I'm going to not play for a month in practice. But it's also hard to sit there and struggle with the same golf swing that you've had for 5 years and never get any better, right? It's hard to wonder, what if I fixed this golf swing? What type of golf would I be playing? Like, those are both hard scenarios. But it's like, which one would you rather choose at the end of the day? Which hard would you rather choose? Everything's hard in life, right? Going to the gym is hard, but sitting on the couch and, you know, your body atrophying is also hard. So like, choose which one you want, because one leads to reward and gratification and the other doesn't. So, you know, you gotta have the mindset for it a little bit too. And that a coach helps you navigate that as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down to our egos.
Yes.
Golf is a game where we attach ourselves to our scores.
Yep.
And if we don't play where we think we should play score-wise, our egos are hurt. And so people are afraid of giving up what they know kind of works to experiment with something that might be better.
Yep.
And it's interesting, you know, you went through a couple of different analogies or comparisons. And I just think about what people do in life. You know, what are those skills that people are learning for their personal hobbies or for their career? And how do they implement those new skills or tactics or strategies into their performance? You know, if someone's hiking, they like hiking, and they're considering a new route, maybe a steeper climb or a longer climb. Do they ever like decide that they don't want to do that? Is that like this major fear that if they don't make it the entire route, that their ego is damaged?
Right.
You know, people who practice yoga, it's considered a practice. And, you know, there's maybe this posture that they've seen others do, and they want to learn to do it. And maybe they're starting to learn a little bit on how to do that. But if they never practice it in the class, how are they going to get better at doing it?
Right.
And you know, people who sell for a living, sales representatives, sometimes they go to seminars or conferences and they learn closing tactics. And you learn this new tactic, their strategy on how to close a sale. But if you never practice it in an actual sales call, what right. good did it do you? Of course it's going to be challenging. Of course it's going to be new. Of course it's going to feel uncomfortable. But by doing it in the environment that you do it in is the only way to learn from it and improve at it.
Yep.
And so if you want to stay on the range for the rest of your life, so be it. Just be a range rat and practice and be afraid of going to the golf course.
Right.
But if you want to play better golf, you need to go to the golf course.
Yep.
You need to practice the very skills that you want to improve at, that you've been ingraining on the range, on the golf course. A person has to put their ego to the side and realize that their ultimate goal is to get better at this swing that they're working on with their coach on the golf course under a scrutinized round of golf with their buddies. It reminds me of a quote or a philosophy that Brené Brown talks about, where we need to be vulnerable in order to be courageous, right? We all want to be brave. We want to be a person of courage, but we're all afraid of being vulnerable because vulnerability is viewed as weakness. Courage and bravery is viewed as strength. And so sometimes we see those on opposite ends of the spectrum, when in reality, they're on the same end of the spectrum. The only way to be brave and courageous is to be vulnerable. We're brave and courageous by being vulnerable and moving forward anyways. And that's the same thing with what we're describing with a golfer who is learning something new or different on the range and wanting to transfer it to the golf course. There is a sense of vulnerability there, and it takes courage and bravery to go through with it and be vulnerable. And that's the only way that they're going to be able to transfer their game from range to course and reap those rewards that they're planning up on the golf course.
Wow. I think that is the perfect place to kind of put an exclamation point on this episode. I don't think I could say it any better than that. Really good stuff, man. This was a great conversation. I enjoyed it. I learned from it, which is selfishly why I love doing these chats and these podcasts, because I get more out of it. So again, to the listeners, anybody have any questions, comments, please give us some feedback on the episodes, what you're enjoying, what you'd like to hear more of. Reach out to either of us at our Instagram pages, at Keith Bennett Golf, at Henry Statina Golf. We love interacting. We love, you know, hearing your feedback. We love any messages that you guys send us. If you're enjoying the podcast, that definitely fuels us to keep going. So we enjoy that community interaction for sure. Henry, have a great rest of your week, brother. Go help some people take that golf swing to the golf course.
Same to you, buddy. You do the same. Have a great week. And I look forward to chatting with you again next time.
All right, buddy. As always, take care.
See ya.
Do you want to work one-on-one with either Henry or Keith? Well, you're in luck. Both Henry and Keith offer online lessons and monthly coaching subscriptions using the Skillist app. Online coaching allows you to learn at your own pace by digesting smaller chunks of information more frequently. Download Skillist, search for Henry or Keith, and get started today.